Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please keep your bulletin insert handy. We're going to be taking a look at the Matthew reading, but also one line in the introit psalm. Take a quick look at that. Halfway down your introit psalm, it says, to guard you in all your ways. That's an important line in today's reading. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and this means that you will be noticing several changes in the worship services, the readings, and the sermons over the next weeks until Easter. The music will be far less joyful. Traditionally, we'll sing no alleluias during Lent. That's because our focus is on our personal struggle with sin, and we also want to zero in on Jesus' journey to the cross at Calvary. Christ's mission was to pay for the sin of the world with his death and resurrection, and these are somber themes. And because Christ our Lord loved us so much to rescue all Christian believers by his sacrificial death, our personal Lenten response has to be repentance. Sorrow over sin, taking serious stock of our lives and seeing where we miss the mark in God's call for us to be holy as he is holy. And this repentance is sorrow over all the sin in our lives with a sincere and heart's desire to turn back to God in the Holy Spirit's power. As we take sin seriously, recognizing not only that we commit sins, but also that we are sinners. As Christians, we further need to acknowledge that in the Spirit's power, we need to follow our Savior more closely in genuine faith and love. And the season of Lent is what this is all about, and it begins now for all of us today. The other theme in the first Sunday in Lent is Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Our Matthew 4 reading has a lot for us as we begin our walk with Jesus to Calvary's cross. First, in our text, we recognize the two natures of Christ. His divine nature is fully God, for Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. Speaking of our Lord, Colossians 2:9 affirms this about Jesus: for in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. But we also know that our Savior is fully true man. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He has flesh and blood and bones, just like us. And our Lord lived his life on this earth in the way that all of us live, except he was without sin. Referring to Jesus, Hebrews 4:15 says this: for we do not have a high priest, speaking of Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So as the God-man Christ in our reading, our Lord Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness in order to be tempted by the devil. And the way to think about this is that Jesus is facing temptation in the way that all human beings have faced temptation since humanity's fall into sin. And the other way to think about this text is that our Savior is meeting the enemy on his own home court, the desert, where little grows and where there is desolation. So Jesus is traveling to take on the enemy. Let's now consider the devil's strategy to tempt Jesus into sin. Take a look at verse 2 on your bulletin insert. God's word tells us that after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he, speaking of Jesus, was hungry. And the first thing you need to know about the strategy of temptation by the enemy is that the devil is not stupid. He is crafty. He is notoriously wise. He does not approach Christ when, in his human nature, our Lord is at his strongest. Instead, Satan comes to our Savior when he is hungry, when he is weakened, when his full human vigor is at a low point. And I want you to realize that in our lives today, as we shift over and think about how the enemy comes at us, The enemy tries to tempt us after not after we've had a great worship service. He doesn't try to approach us after a meaningful Christian conference. He doesn't come to us when we are strong in the Word of God. The devil is too smart for that. He comes to us when we are facing conflict or when we are sick or tired. He comes to us when we are worried or struggling with something. In 1 Peter 5:8, God's Word gives us this insight. The Lord tells us in His Word, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." And then Peter writes, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith." And here in the Matthew reading, Jesus resists the enemy. But while our Lord is resisting, the devil gives his best effort in temptation. Since Christ is hungry, the evil one questions Jesus' authority and power. And he says it this way in verse 3, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." I've often been asked, which is the most difficult temptation for Jesus in this Matthew 4 reading? And I think it's this one. I believe that this is the most difficult temptation because the devil wants Jesus to forget about his heavenly Father. And this fallen angel wants our Lord to use his own ability to supply his own bread in order to satisfy his own hunger. And isn't this the same temptation that the devil uses against us every day? Satan wants us to forget about God and instead to trust in our own ability to supply our own needs in this life. Satan wants us to forget about God and worry and despair over every challenge we face. And when we forget about our Heavenly Father, we are tempted further to believe that it is our own intelligence, our own skill, our own bank account, and everything else that we possess that helps us sail through our span of years problem-free. But Christians know that Jesus' answer is true. Verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And here our Lord is quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. And Christ is declaring that there is always a spiritual truth above every physical reality. And he's also saying that human beings don't just need food in this world. We also need God. A lot of information has been flying around in fear regarding the coronavirus and the financial markets tanking. And I believe that God allows these things so that we stop forgetting about Him. That we realize that our safety and security is really in God alone. Because the virus and the financial markets tanking often shake us at our core because it makes us realize that maybe we do need something other than ourselves to get through this life. The spiritual truth is that we do need God, for our Heavenly Father is our Creator and He loves His people. And it is the Lord who sustains our lives, not we ourselves. And we were made in God's image and also made to live in communion with Him. And our knowledge of and relationship with God comes as the Holy Spirit draws us to Himself through His holy word. So it is true that the life that we live on this earth is sustained, verse 4, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now let's move to the devil's next temptation from the high point of the Jerusalem temple. He says, verse 6, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And here we see that Satan can quote scripture. He says, "For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you." And then he says, "On their hands, they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. But what you need to know is that the devil is misquoting God's word from Psalm 91. If you take a look at your introit psalm, halfway down the psalm, you'll see that he leaves out the phrase, to guard you in all your ways. And that is the lie of the enemy. The accurate reading tells us that God will keep us safe and secure in all our normal ways. Jesus called Satan a liar and the father of lies. And what the enemy wants you to believe is that God promises to protect his people even when they test him, or even when they do what is unwise or harmful. What the devil asked Jesus to do was jump off a tall building. That's not his normal way, for it would be like us wearing a blindfold and walking across the Autobahn at rush hour. God does not promise to protect us when we disregard all rules of safety and wisdom. Our Lord does promise to guard us in all our normal ways. So Jesus' answer is this, verse 7. Again it is written, and Jesus goes back to the word of God, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. In the normal course of our lives, God will protect us on this earth, or he will bring us home to heaven. But we are never to test the Lord. We are never to force God to come to our aid because we have chosen to do something crazy. And now to the last temptation, and many have fallen for this one. The devil took our Lord to a high mountain and showed Jesus all the glory of the kingdoms of the world. And Satan said, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Again, the devil is lying. He owns nothing. Psalm 24 declares that the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. What makes this temptation so outrageous is that the devil, a fallen angel, deserves nothing, and he is asking the Son of God to worship him. Christ will have none of this. Verse 10 is his reply. Jesus said, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus again quotes the Old Testament from Deuteronomy 6. And here everyone needs to see the crucial point. As true man in his human nature, without the assistance of his divinity, Jesus defeated the enemy with the powerful word of God. That's all it took. Christ pounded Satan on his home court. And we know this is true because the devil is driven away and he has to leave. And Jesus has done this by using the word of God. In Ephesians 6, the scriptures are called the sword of the Spirit. And the truth of God's powerful word is sufficient to triumph over the enemy every time. So the question that I have for you Christians today is this. Why do we struggle so much with temptation? If we have the weapon, the sword of the Spirit, to drive off the enemy, why do we let the devil hang around us to do his damage? In Christ and his word, we have the means to defeat the enemy. So we pray that with God's help and in the power of the risen Christ, that all of us will be in the Word on a daily basis. God bless you and keep you in your faith in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen.